Now, if the book of Romans were a gold ring, the 8th chapter of Romans would be the pearl in the setting. The most precious and beautiful part of Romans is perhaps the 8th chapter. Now, we have observed that the book of Romans is a description of the gospel of the grace of God. And Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 are describing to us what it means to be under the reign of grace. Now, it's nice to have grace, but it's wonderful to have the reign of grace. We're talking about the abundance of grace. Romans chapter 5 speaks of the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. And when grace reigns, then we reign in life. So everything is about life, and the grace of God is to cause us to reign in life. It's wonderful to know that you are under grace and nothing but grace. And not only grace, but the abundance of grace. It's the only thing that can set the human heart properly free. It's nice to know about this maximum love. Not just love, much more love. You'll find that in Romans chapter 5, which is simply what grace is all about. If God loved you while you were weak, and while you were a sinner, and while you were an enemy, much more is He going to love you while you're in a state of reconciliation. It's amazing how many Christians stumble over their post-baptismal sins. They're Galatian Christians. They start in grace, but now, quote, it's up to you. That's heresy. And so it's wonderful to know that you are constantly under the maximum love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. I'm just about ready to read it in Romans, the 8th chapter. When you know maximum love, you're beginning to understand the grace of God and how important it is that we have that. You see, there are many destructive powers that want to keep us from life. According to Romans, there are four lethal powers. They are wrath, sin, law, and death. According to the first five chapters of Romans, the grace of God frees us from wrath, all condemnation. There is no condemnation. You are not under wrath, you're under grace. You're in a state of justification. Romans chapter 6 discusses the subject of freedom from sin by the grace of God. Romans chapter 7 tells us we are not under law. And now Romans chapter 8 is about to tell us what it means to be free from the powers of death. Now, in order to understand this chapter and about what we're about to introduce with emphasis upon walking in the Spirit, we must know how broad this subject is. And just a surface reading of the 8th chapter will demonstrate to us that if we are going to walk in the Spirit, we must have a very broad understanding, because the Apostle Paul is going to talk to us about the eternal purposes of God, and he's going to introduce the doctrine of the two creations. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, basically, there are two powers that work within us to bring us to death. There is a power at work within us, a power of death. It's called the flesh. Now, the solution to that, as we will see, is walking in the Spirit. But that can just be ever so many words to people. We often don't know what that means, and we must understand what that means. Secondly, there is a power working outside me. The Bible calls it the world. Now, that's going to also figure into Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see how that we can live during this present time. One important key to understanding Romans 8 is the phrase in verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, we must understand that terminology right there, this present time. Now, according to the Scriptures, there are two great decisive events in world history. That is, the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. During this age, after the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are living in the age of the fulfillment of the promise. But we are anticipating the consummation of the promise when Jesus Christ comes back a second time to regenerate all of creation and establish the new heavens and the new earth. But we are now living in this present time. Now, Romans, the 8th chapter, is about to tell us how that by the reign of grace, we are going to become super conquerors in this present time. If you'd like to write that down, it's worth noting. That's what ought to be over Romans chapter 8. How the reign of grace makes me a super conqueror in this present time. That's what Romans chapter 8 is trying to describe for us. Now we'll see what we have and what we do not have. We know, for example, we are under no condemnation, none whatsoever. Now many people are, unfortunately, because they think they're under the law. But you are under no condemnation in any way, shape, or form. You're absolutely free. Nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect because it's God who's done the justifying. Furthermore, our spirits are alive. We'll see what that means as we come to it. And also, we are super conquerors, more than conquerors. That may sound like strange doctrine to you, but this is what we are. We are super conquerors through grace. Now, we do not have, however, redeemed bodies. Our bodies are dead. They are dying. They are dead because of sin. And furthermore, we are living in a world, an unredeemed world, in this creation that has all kinds of stressful things that make us suffer and also tempt us to draw us away from God and walking in the Spirit. So we're out to see what it really means now to be a super conqueror and how we can walk in the Spirit. Let's read this great chapter. In my mind, it's one of the most precious documents that ever came from human hand. It's, of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We believe that. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, none, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember that phrase. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, to set the mind on the flesh, the only word you can say for it is death. That's the only word that qualifies. It's a lethal, deadly bondage of corruption. It's death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace, soul peace. Now, the mind that is set on the flesh, it's hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So many people are trying to consecrate their flesh down to an altar, beating their fist on an altar. You can't consecrate your flesh. It's unredeemable. All you can do is crucify it and get out of it. Don't walk in it. Does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead, death is claiming them, they're dead, they're dying because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. Now, if the Spirit of Him, furthermore, by the way, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, guess what? He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. They are redeemable. Flesh is not, but your body is. Also through His Spirit, which dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And now we're about to start this very heady doctrine. that move us into the eternal plan of God and the two creations. If you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, you have received a spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit Himself bearing witness with us, with our spirit, that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs. Inheritance here. We are heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might also be glorified with Him. Now I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, remember that phrase, it's a most important key to understand what we're starting to say this morning. TPT, this present time. I give the young people some little abbreviations so it'll lodge in their mind. TPT is one of them, this present time, and ROG, the reign of grace. This present time is not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For creation, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation was subjected to futility. That brings us to the doctrine of emptiness, what I want to talk to you about tonight, the second part of this, knowledge and the doctrine of emptiness. It's a most important truth. Creation was subject to emptiness, and man with it, futility, not of his own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself will be set free from the bondage, its bondage to decay, and will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, that's the goal of it all, this glorious liberty. Not just liberty, glorious liberty. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, that is the resurrection or the redemption of our bodies. And we'll spell out the whole connection between the flesh and the body in this series of sermons. In this hope, we are saved. Now, hope that is seen, that's not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If you are seeing something and you got it, you're not hoping for it, you've got it. But if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. That's this new creation we're going to talk about. Likewise, the Spirit, it also helps us in our weakness, not only to counter the flesh, but to live out our life in this world. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. He who searches the hearts of men, He knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love Him. Can anything bad happen to you? Of course not. It's working for good. Who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might just be the firstborn among many brethren. That includes you and me. And those whom He predestined, He also called. That's the phase we're in right now. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Put in the past tense because it's a completed package. Now, what are you going to say to all this? Well, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also give us all things with Him? Of course, if He gave you the very best, won't He give you the least? Who shall bring any charge, any kind, against God's elect? They're His pets, they're special. They're elect. It is God who justifies. So, who's going to condemn? Now, this enemy would like to condemn you. Your own conscience would like to condemn you. But if God does not condemn you, what does all the rest make any difference? You can stay down that bondage if all you want. Let God be true and every man a liar. It is God who justifies. And who's going to condemn us? It's Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised from the dead, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed even intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, the maximum love? Can anything separate you from the maximum love of God? Never. How about tribulation? No? Distress? Ever been distressed? No? How about persecution? How about famine? Maybe you went a little hungry. Maybe you don't have enough clothes, not enough money. Could that do it? How about some peril, perilous thing? How about sword? What if you even died? Would that be it? No, you just go right into His presence and see Him face to face. No, as it is written in the Psalms, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are super conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come. Are you afraid about the future? Things to come. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this great chapter is introducing these marvelous themes that show us how we can be super conquerors through the reign of grace. That's what that's trying to tell us. To cope with the powers that work within us called the flesh, and to cope with the powers external to us called the world. But if we're going to learn to walk in the Spirit, which is the main exhortation of Romans 6-8, and all of these doctrines that we've been preaching are leading us up to this conclusion, that we might have a life in the Spirit. But now what does that mean? That can just be ever so many words. We often do not know. And as we will see in detail, it is absolutely imperative that you have knowledge to walk in the Spirit. I will point that out very clearly tonight when we talk about knowledge and the doctrine of emptiness. But the first thing that you must understand to walk in the Spirit is the doctrine of the two creations. This is where it begins, and this is what we must grasp. Now, according to the Bible, God has two creations, not one, but two. Now, everybody knows about the first creation. You can read about that in the first chapter of the Bible. Page 1 starts about the first creation. So God created the universe, and He made Adam as its representative head. He put Adam as the head of that creation and put him in dominion. But the Bible also talks about another creation. You'll read about that in the last chapter, the last pages of the Bible, the last chapter, actually. God also put an Adam called the last Adam at the head of that new creation. His name happens to be Jesus Christ. Now, you're going to go into that new creation fully when you have a resurrected body. But wait! God raised Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago and put Him in a new creation. And so the new creation does not begin in the last pages of our Bible. The new creation began when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's where He is right now. He's in that new creation as the last Adam. You can read about that in Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we come to this great doctrine of what it means to be in Christ. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. That's the key to the New Testament theology, to be in Christ. Now, to be in Jesus Christ means that positionally you're standing before God, and anyone else that counts is identical to that of Jesus Christ. You are as righteous right now as Jesus Christ is. You have the same identical standing as He does. Experimentally, you have the possibility of, quote, walking in the Spirit. We're talking about, of course, the powers of the New Age. Now let me explain this to you. In order to understand what it means to walk in the flesh or the Spirit, you must know that the first creation has two phases. There are two parts or two phases to the first creation. That is simply creation before the fall and creation after the fall. T1 and T2, phase 1 and phase 2 of the first creation. So when God created man, basically in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you can read these statements. God created man, quote, in the image and the likeness of God. And God looked at that, man and creation, and said, this is very good. He didn't say this was innocent. This has positive righteousness. This man is in a right relationship with me. This is positive goodness. He's in my image, and he is very good. But everyone knows that phase two came in. And you can read this, of course, all through Scripture, how that man fell. He fell into what the Bible calls sin. Now, sin is basically, in its simplest form and definition, sin is simply disobedience. That's what sin is. God created man in this positive state of righteousness in his image, but he gave him a commandment, a very direct commandment, the law of God or the commandment of God, and says, the day you eat of the wrong tree here, you will die. So Adam sinned, he went into disobedience, and he lost righteousness. He lost his positive goodness. Now, disobedience means he is not in a right standing or a right relationship with God. He's wrong with God. He's not right with God. And so there must come this restoration. There must come this recreation, this regeneration. And so our Bible is the story of how God in love reaches out to restore that image and likeness of man and to bring him back into a state called righteousness, into a right relationship with him. And that brings us to this great, tremendous book of Romans that is telling us about how God is restoring that image and that likeness in us. Now, according to our New Testament, man basically lost three things. God is renewing or restoring, regenerating three things. And these three things must be there for us to walk in the Spirit. They are all three named in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. I'd like to read that passage for you. And again, I mention it's imperative to know this, to understand what you're doing when you walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Be renewed, restored, regenerated, a new creation. Be renewed, number one, in the spirit of your minds. It begins by a restoration of your mind. And again, I'll need an entire sermon to explain that to you in connection with the doctrine of emptiness. We'll talk about that tonight. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new nature. Put on the new creation. Put on the new nature. Created, notice, after the likeness of God. That's what we want, is the likeness and the image of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, there are many other scriptures that support this. Colossians picks it up similarly. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, don't lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge. Please notice that. It is being renewed in knowledge. Grace isn't something that floats around here in space that you magically bump into. Grace comes through knowledge. You grow in grace and knowledge. Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate them. So the life in the Spirit, this new man, is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. And this is why I say, and I'm not trying to make any kind of a contest, but I've met people for years who've had all kinds of experiences, but they're still legalistic at heart. They've not got knowledge. We bore witness to a man last night who's been, unfortunately, a Christian 35 years and had never heard of the grace of God. Didn't even know what it was all about. No wonders he was in such awful trouble. He didn't know about the abundance of grace and the reign of grace. What a thrilling doctrine. You're being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. That's why the Catechism, by the way, puts it this way. The shorter Catechism asks the question, how did God create man? And it answers, God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. And so, God is restoring His image and likeness. We see what that fall meant. Now we're in phase two of creation. We're living our life out in this old creation, you see. But God, through Jesus Christ, by the powers of the new age, by the powers of the resurrection, are restoring to us through knowledge that glorious image and likeness. He is imputing His righteousness to me. He is restoring that marvelous thing whereby I can walk pleasing to God. But listen, church, there is nothing in this first creation, there is nothing in this age that has life or righteousness in it. It is under the wrath of the cross. God took all of this old creation in the likeness of sinful flesh, and God gave His judgment against this world by putting Jesus Christ to death on a cross. That's what the holiness of God regards of all this creation. And there are many people trying to draw their life from this creation. They're trying to improve their flesh. Self-improvement. I tell you, it's impossible. It's under death. You can't walk in the flesh and set your mind after this world and after the things of this world and be a super conqueror. No wonder many people don't get anywhere. They don't know how to live. Friends, you've got to draw your life from the new age. This whole age is dying. Thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ came up out of that tomb. Jesus Christ went into the new creation, and by the Holy Spirit He breathes the powers of that back into my old dying body, as it were, and lets me walk in the Spirit so that I become a super conqueror. Oh, I tell you, I'm not under condemnation. I don't have all of these frustrations. Do I suffer? Am I tempted by the world? Of course. I'm living my life out in the two creations, the old and the new. My body just hasn't caught up with what I've got down inside yet. I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. I am living now by hope. My salvation is primarily future. But don't you know the powers of that new age have been breathed back into this old dying creation? And God looked down at me and says, "Hello, son. Hello, son. You're justified by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just free as a bird. I've got glorious liberty." You could find all kinds of things wrong with me. I could live with you a day or two and find more, by the way. You're no better than I am. Oh, but thanks be unto God, the reign of grace, this marvelous maximum love, that nothing can separate me from that love. Lets me enter into the powers of the new creation. Thanks be unto God for this truth. It is being renewed in knowledge. And that's why I don't want to put on you, folks, you ought never, not just your pastor, every time that doctrine and that Bible is preached, you ought to be here to intake that truth. That's why I don't ding at you to come to church. You've got to hear truth. It only comes by the truth. It's the intake of truth. The new man is renewed in knowledge. And oh, how I'm praying God is going to get our heads on straight, and everybody's going to understand the simple gospel of the grace of God. That's the way you walk in the Spirit. And that's not feeling woozy or feeling spiritual or anything. That comes through your mind. You've got to have your mind renewed. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And Paul says, "I serve God with my mind." That's the way it goes, by this truth, this intake of the grace of God that transforms and changes our lives. Well, folks, it's available for us. The truth sets you free. See, it's not your trying. It's your getting the truth. Once that truth lodges in your heart, then you can walk in the Spirit. All that struggling, all that striving, all that lashing and straining and twisting and whipping, it's all gone. Now it's that marvelous walk in the Spirit. That means you're participating in the powers of the new age. Oh, hallelujah. It's available in this old dying body and in this old trying creation. It's available by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something. Please make this clear. You see, your emotions and your sentiments, your feelings, they are part of your body structure. And people run hot and cold. They feel this or that. Don't trust your feelings. We're talking about our minds. We're talking about the mind and knowledge. We're talking about the spirit of our mind that has to be renewed. And if you'll let that intake come of the truth and act on the basis of that truth, because that won't change. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and He stands in the new creation to breathe back His Spirit to you. the Spirit of Christ can dwell in you, and it's going to raise your body and all your miserable emotions someday from the grave, and they're all going to be changed. So don't live at that basis, you see? Don't live at that basis, but respond what is to the truth.